Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jenna Grayson coming to you live. I am indeed the Hypnotic Comet, the Hypnotic Comic. And this is my first ever show. So I'm super grateful to have you here with me on this journey. And I'm the Hypnotic Comic because I am both a trained and practicing hypnotherapist. So it's my job to hypnotize people, potentially you. And I'm also a comic because I am officially a regular at the Comedy Store in Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard. So I am also a stand-up comic. So I'm pretty damn funny, if you can't tell already. So hopefully this will be a really exciting show and lots of fun. We're going to have some really profound, meaningful, and fun guests. My first guest is a really amazing human being, and I'm really honored to say that he's actually a dear friend of mine. And he is Dr. Joshua Darnell, and he is somehow bridging the left and right brain by being both a psychic medium. That's right. You heard it here first. Okay, maybe not first, but he is indeed a psychic medium, and he's also, I think he has either one or two master's degree and is currently working on his doctorate. He's doing his dissertation and writing a book about the seven dimensions of wellness. So in just a moment, I'm going to bring Dr. Joshua onto the show, and before I do that, I also want to give you guys a phone number if you want to call in and ask any questions. It's, the phone number is 888-627-6008. And that is only if you're listening live, of course. Again, once again, the number is 888-627-6008. If you have any questions for me or for my brilliant guest, Dr. Joshua Darnell. Also want to let you guys know that I have a, I have a comedy show coming up this Friday at the Comedy Store in Hollywood at 7 p.m. It's in the original room, which many of the great comics of our time and before our time even have performed on that stage. The last time I performed was last month, and the next night, Dave Chappelle was up on that same stage, so he kind of inhaled my exhales. So hopefully he enjoyed that. I enjoyed being able to think about that anyway. All right, so without any further delay, I would love now to introduce you to my brilliant guest, Dr. Joshua Darnell, the psychic medium and master of the seven dimensions of wellness. Dr. Joshua.
Hey, Jenna.
Hi, Dr. Joshua. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah,
great
you
to be
are.
Here.
You're pretty fantastic, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, life on God.
What'd you say? Say that again.
Life on God.
Life on God. That's a good good drug to be on, is the intoxication of the divine. I wanted to bring up a couple of things about you, and then just, you know, we'll talk a little bit about money and making some meaning around money. You know, I would like to really focus on that while I know that you have the full seven dimensions of wellness, which is brilliant and really well thought through and beautiful development of how to stay balanced in all of these dimensions of life that can sometimes feel like, you know, I think juggling dishes or plates, or, you know, when we say we have a lot on our plate, it can be so much that we're having to deal with. But I think that you really masterfully and artfully find that balance. I want to really focus today on the finances part of the seven dimensions. But before we do that, will you tell us just a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to be a psychic medium, and
how
we're calling you Dr. Joshua the psychic medium today?
Sure, Dan. Thank you. So I was a college football coach for 14 years, all around colleges and universities around America. The last university I was at was Azusa Pacific University, where I was the offensive coordinator there. And then in December of 2009, Spirit told me to leave, and I left and moved out to Santa Monica and completely recreated my life, and a year later emerged, you know, as a psychic and a professional psychic, and it's been life on God ever since. You know, and obviously in the course of that time, I've also got my spiritual counseling license from Agape University. I've got 2 master's degrees, one in master's in health and human performance, and another master's in psychology with an emphasis in marriage and family therapy. So I do couples counseling, I do spiritual counseling, I also do individual counseling, and then, but at the core of all that is my psychic mediumship, where I channel my client's spirit guides, and I also talk to their loved ones on the other side. And that's really everything that I do. It's just, it's all about spirit and coming from spirit through the prism of my life.
Yeah, that's amazing and really rare, because just in my lifetime, I've known, you know, some people who call themselves psychic mediums, and it's quite a thing to have to sort of prove and legitimize with ordinary humans who would never consider that as a possibility in general, let alone a possibility for themselves. And then also, you know, I've known some people who have master's degrees or doctorate degrees, but those two very rarely go together. So I'm going to ask you a couple, I want to ask you a couple of questions that kind of coming from that like doubter perspective of like, like who do you think you are to channel spirit or channel people's spirit guides? Like, how, when you said spirit told me to move on from my work as a football coach, like, what does that even mean? And why do you believe that that was the voice of spirit and not just your mind?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, so like with everything, it's a relationship, you know, and I've been into on the spiritual path really all my life, because my mom, I was raised by a single mom, really ingrained that in me in terms of having a relationship with spirit. But eventually I had to have my own relationship with spirit, and it was the course of time, you know, and it started with a voice, and it started with a feeling tone. We call that, you know, clairaudience or clairsentience. And in the course of time, I knew that that voice or that feeling tone that would come through was always right. And I remember, you know, when I was coaching football, you know, spirit would kind of, you know, give me guidance, and it would look so like there was no way possible that what they were saying was right. But I was like, okay, well, let's try this out. For example, I remember I was in my office on an afternoon, and I had some leftover food from lunch, and my head football coach had just arrived, and Spirit said, hey, you know, give him your leftovers, he's hungry. And I'm like, no, he just came from lunch. Like, there's no way. He's full. He always eats. You know, there's no way that he's hungry.
Right.
But I thought, okay, well, I'll surrender to this. And I, you know, went into his office and said, hey, are you hungry? He said, oh, my gosh, yes. Like, I was at lunch, but I was talking the entire time, so I never had a chance to eat. So it was just little things like that, and obviously it built up to bigger and bigger things. But I just established a relationship with spirit where I could trust the guidance. And it's just like, you know, and that's why I love also doing couples counseling, because our relationship with spirit is so oftentimes our relationship with our loved ones, and where we have to build up trust. We have to build up a relationship to where we can say, okay, I know that this is always true, so I can surrender to it, and so I can make, you know, big leap changes, like, you know, giving up my 14-year career.
Right. And so at that time, and then ongoing from then, how do you distinguish? You said that there's a voice and a feeling tone that you've come to trust, but can you be more specific, like for somebody like me or somebody who's listening on the show today, to say that's what that feeling tone feels like and that's what that voice sounds like? Because doesn't it, you know, for most of us, isn't it the case, or what would you say if this isn't the case, that voice and the feeling tone is present for all of us and available for all of us, but most of us just doubt it or think it's just another thought? I mean, doesn't it just sound like the voice of your thoughts?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, so that's why it is that kind of own personal relationship. You know, so, but yes, you're right. Like, everyone is quote-unquote psychic. Everyone has the connection. But I relate it a lot to like going to the gym. Like we all have biceps, but if we go to the gym and work out our biceps, well, then they become stronger and leaner and bigger. And so by listening to the voice or listening to the feeling tone or listening to the obeying the vision or, however way your own psychic abilities come through, then it becomes stronger and stronger. And so, but yes, we all have it. And for me, it's like this is, it's kind of hard to describe, but it's like this, it's an inner voice that's not like my own thoughts. It's not like anything else. And with the feeling tone, it's a feeling tone where it just goes through my entire body and oftentimes gives me chills and then I also get visions and even ideas and all that. So, and we call that clairvoyance and claircognizance. So that's why I say it's really a personal relationship, because just like with our lovers, like we don't you establish your own inner language with them. You establish your own flow with them. And so the more that we can meditate, the more we can be still, the more we can be in silence and really communicate to what we feel like that intuitive gift is, the more that we can establish that relationship and then establish that trust.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And because you're really well educated in that more left brain world of education, really working with the logical, linear, analytical side of the mind, the rational side of the brain. Like, how do you make peace with that? Because it seems like most people are either like on the more woo-woo side of the right brain, where it's like all love and light, and they're missing out on being grounded in this world and not having human, really solid or continuous human relationships, or having solid, relationship with money or finances, and it's all good, it's all love and light. Like, how do you do that? And I mean, that maybe that's something that's kind of obvious for you because you're just living it, but I wanted to ask you if you can try to sort of be a voice of that as a possibility, because I'm personally not used to that. As I've said, already a couple of times, I'm not used to seeing a person that has both sides of their brain well developed, because they just seem like the world is like, let's be practical, like let's be real. And if you're going to talk about channeling God or, listening to or being the voice of people's dead loved ones, then you're not grounded, that's not realistic. That's not practical, and it's not maybe even in some cases maybe not useful, because like we got problems here on the three-dimensional plane. So how do you sort of reconcile all that?
Yeah, and I love that you're bringing these points up, because you're right. I mean, it's that you're really characterizing the resistance that so many people feel. Really, I mean, when we look at like scientists, like for example, Albert Einstein. They may not believe in a God, like the Judeo-Christian God of like there's some, heavenly being, almost like a Santa Claus saying, okay, you're good, you're naughty, that type of stuff. But even like our top scientists agree that there is a divine intelligence that's governing the universe. And so when we take a look at that practical aspect and look at just, how the flow of life goes, that there is something there. There is a divine intelligence, through all of creation. And obviously,
okay, right.
When we study, all of the different philosophies and religions, around the world, there's also a commonality in all of them, that there is, that divine intelligence that speaks to people. And as those people choose to listen, they expand and they are able to do things that they could never have even imagined. And I've seen that also take place in my own life. And so so no matter what my eyes may see, the inner experience justifies this divine intelligence that I'm communicating with to be true.
Right. So it's like what I'm hearing and getting from what you're saying is really there is so much value for us to create this integration, for more of us to be this kind of a bridge, both like on a, I want to say like on a vertical plane be a bridge as well as be a bridge in the hemispheres of our own brain capacity and to be a bridge between one another, both in these practical ways and the ways that you're serving people and relating to the human experience, relating to other people's human experience too. Like there's so much value for us to incorporate this and to find reasons, including scientists that exist now, scientists that have existed previously like Einstein, who can say, yeah, there is actually value in integrating these two parts. And really, now is the time for us to be doing it, isn't it? I mean, there are a lot of scientists right now that are creating meaning out of even Einstein's work that we didn't have access to before. And I believe that that's true with other scientists too, including Darwin, when he talked about the survival of the fittest, that he wasn't talking about competition and, you know, a lot of more masculine expressions of the survival of the fittest, but rather survival of the fittest being more of an expression of that unified field that quantum physicists are discovering today, that we survive in harmony with the whole of existence rather than just being me against you and it's either me or you or us or them.
Exactly. Beautifully put.
And I would just add that the
expansion of what life can become, because we know from ancient wisdom that is what this is all about, is God or divine intelligence or spirit, whatever you want to call it, coming into physical matter to know itself and to expand into experiencing what life can be.
That's right. So beautiful. So let's move now. I appreciate so much of what you're saying. I feel the expansion already. I genuinely do. It's like, it sounds like I'm being funny, and hopefully it is a little bit funny too, but I really genuinely am, and hopefully, you know, the listeners listening right now are also feeling that expansion, because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm feeling it, man. So I appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to both, like, to also just, like, feel that place of expansion and know that it's, you know, it also is and can be really grounded too, you know. So I really appreciate that. So thank you. So I also want to talk to you about the seven dimensions of wellness. If we can kind of just briefly touch on what those seven dimensions are and like where you came up with them and why there's seven. And I'm really wanting to focus on the bridging point specifically in our time together with the finances and the wellness. So if you could just kind of briefly take us through the seven dimensions of wellness and where those came from for you.
Sure, yeah. So the seven dimensions of wellness really relate to the chakras, but it's the aspect of really stepping into our self-actualization, to use a Maslow's term. And really what they are is the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, the physical, the professional, the financial, and then our relationships, our relational bodies. And so, you know, when I started my counseling, Spirit, you know, spoke it through me of how to talk to people and how to help them through their issues. And I think our studies of the mind are very elementary, and that term, oh, well, how you do one thing is how you do all things, that's actually not true. We actually know scientifically that, and even anecdotally, that a lot of people can be very successful, you know, in their professional life or in their mental body or in their financial body, but they can really struggle in their relationships, or they can really struggle in their spiritual life,
or they can really
struggle, you know, mentally. So the seven dimensions was just the aspect to really a self-evaluation and say, okay, what dimensions am I really doing well in, and what dimensions, you know, do I need to have work in, and what's one step to make me feel better in that dimension?
Yeah. Do you think it's really possible for people to expect for themselves to have a balance in all seven aspects, seven dimensions?
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously, you know, there's going to be, you know, some that we just naturally are great at, you know, and when I used to teach health at Azusa Pacific University, I used to, give my students in seven dimensions, and I'd ask them to grade themselves. And so the whole, idea is to say, well, if I'm a C minus, maybe in my physical body, what's one thing that I can do to make it a C? And then once I reach that level, okay, what's one thing that I can incorporate in my life to make it a C plus? And it's just the idea that sometimes, we think too big, and we really want to, have small victories every day. And the way that I also use the seven dimensions of wellness is also to make sure that I'm not ignoring any dimension of my life either, that I'm also strengthening, all aspects of my life so that I can be a holistic man.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So I appreciate that, because I think when you bring up seven, it's like, yeah, I really relate to all of those as being important in my own life. And like, I want to feel successful and on top of it in all these different dimensions. But at the same time, I'm like, oh man, I don't know that I'm going to get to like the A status, I would love to get to a C plus status and, at least a couple of them, and then maybe like B plus status, and then like two in the A category. Like, can I have like, I think that was like my general school probably report card, is that so it was like a couple of C's, a couple of A's. I kind of happened to the B minus. And I'm like, I'm still going for that. That's my goal. I'm just noticing that right now. Like, yeah, my aspirations in life have not changed since the age of 16, apparently. So I'm like, can we just aim for B minus right now? I'm good with that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, and again, it's all about, each individual and what works for them. But it's also a way to just kind of categorize into really, because so many people also focus on what they're not doing right. I can't, have a budget. I'm always struggling with money, da, 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 da. So all of their emotional focus then goes to that. And then it just kind of, creates, disharmony, in their vibration, when it's like, no, let's also look at your family. Let's look at, your professional life. Let's look at, your spiritual body and all that. And look how great you're doing in these aspects, So, and if we can excel in one aspect, we can excel in the others.
Yeah, very cool. Well, you brought up, I wish I had this quote in front of me right now. I'm like, should I Google it real quick? Well, I'm just going to bring it up because, we talked a little bit about some of the scientists of the past and the scientists of the current time, including you, who are bridging that place of the physical and the non-physical. And you brought up that word vibration, like when we're thinking the thoughts that like, gosh, I'm not doing that well in this category of my life, that it lowers our own vibration. And it was Nikola Tesla that long time ago, I don't know when, but we're going to pretend like I do. But Nikola Tesla said, if we want to know the secrets of the universe, to look to energy, vibration, and resonance or something like that. So, and here we are driving around or seeing other people, I should say, because I'm not driving around in a Tesla, but, we're living in a time when that name Tesla is becoming a real household name, and people are becoming more interested and where, as you say, and to quote you, where the rubber meets the road, So it's kind of fun that you've brought up the term vibration, and then we can bring in Tesla and the electric car, and also more specifically how we are electric vehicles ourselves. I didn't mean to say that, but it came out. We're electric vehicles, and we're electric vehicles in the ways that we're thinking about these dimensions of our lives, that they're determining that place of the secrets of the universe within our own being, our own vibration. So if I'm thinking, okay, I'm doing okay on an emotional and mental level, but my physical body is, and financially, I don't want to talk about it, and my relationships are suffering, and spiritually, it's all good, baby. Like, if I'm giving myself a C-, then the secrets of the universe, as Tesla would say, my vibration is a little effed up. Are we allowed to say that? My vibration's a little effed up. So how is that affecting, I want to ask you, your perspective, how is my effed up vibration, let's say about finances, where I don't genuinely want to talk about it because it's stressful or painful or scary or overwhelming, or I feel underwater about it, you know, what is my vibration on that more grounded rubber meeting the road place doing for my actual finances?
Yeah, great point. So, everything he's saying is completely true about that vibrational, you know, aspect of it. And what ancient wisdom teaches us is to then look at it and say, okay, well, what can I do to change this vibration? And what ancient wisdom teaches us is actually to, first and foremost, to get everything in divine order. And it actually gives us a step-by-step in terms of what that divine order is. And that first step of that divine order is taking care of our body. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean like going to the gym every day or, you know, those type of things, but it does mean, you know, getting enough water, getting enough sleep, you know, practicing proper hygiene, you know, getting, at least a decent amount of exercise, you know, per week, so that we are demonstrating to the universe that we love ourselves. And so it first starts with the body, and then it starts with the area that we can control. So our car, our home, or our room, whatever it might be, that we clean those places up and put everything in divine order. And what that divine order does is ancient wisdom also teaches us that the real path to spirituality is through experience. So by giving us a different experience, by giving us a different vibration, then we're actually able to then change the vibration that we're feeling around a certain area of our dimension of wellness, like you're saying, like our finances. So then we step into divine order with our finances. And this is why, you know, budgeting is so important, as well as tithing, you know, giving 1 to 10%, you know, of your money back out to the universe, as well as also tithing to ourselves first and foremost with 1 to 10%, you know, putting in a savings account or putting into some investments. And so with that divine order in place, we can then change that vibrational tone, because now our experience is different. And it's those little actions that can make a huge difference.
Okay. All right. So, but isn't, you're saying tithing to yourself, I have to ask you, because that just sounds like you're sort of stretching a spiritual principle to like serve yourself. And I mean, like, I don't want to totally be right about that, but at the same time, my mind is like, yeah, that's not what the big book says, you know. I don't, you know, like the Bible is like you're supposed to, you know, and I'm not a Bible person. I'm certainly not. I was raised as a young Jewish girl in Orange County, California, the land of Republican Christians. So I was a minority, but nevertheless, I'm somewhat familiar with the Bible, and I want to get to some of the truths around things like money and spiritual truths. And the idea of, you know, I know that it's in a lot of spiritual books, the Bible included, but other books as well, that, you know, talking about giving back to the place where you get your spiritual food, you know, that's mm-hmm. like a spiritual principle that allows the universe, whatever you want to call that, God or Jesus, Allah, Buddha, the universe, spirit, your higher self, to be in a more receptive position for, even at a psychological level, for us to feel like or sense or perceive that we have, you know, if I have enough to give to the place where I receive my spiritual nourishment, then I'll be more open to receive from that infinite source. But the idea, so I want to come back to the idea of tithing to yourself, that doesn't sit well with me in the first sort of glance of it. And so I'm like, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm not more like left brain practical self side of myself. It's like, yeah, when you're figuring out your budgeting, like you're talking about, you've got a budget for paying yourself. Otherwise, we're all just living to pay for other people's demands of us, you know, paying for what I owe the gas man, what I owe for my phone, you know, just paying off debts or paying off bills. That I think most of the world is living from that mindset of, like, you know, I've got $900 expenses over here and $1,000 expenses over here and $1,000 expenses over here. And like, that's how much money I need to come up with so so that I can meet my needs. But if you're talking about tithing to yourself, I just want to ask you if you would talk more about that, both on the, like, that, I want to say practical, but, like, you know, rubber meets the road place of left brain, like, how do we do this better? And then the right brain of, like, how is this spiritual to tithe to yourself?
Yeah, exactly. And like you said earlier, you know, it is about merging the left and the right together, merging the masculine and feminine together. Because, you know, like you said before, like, you know, where the rubber meets the road, that's really what this is about. It's about the crown chakra as well as the root chakra, right? So the crown chakra is that aspect of hey, I'm going to give, you know, 10% of everything that I make, you know, back out to the universe. But then the root chakra aspect and really, you know, what all financial, you know, advisors always say is, hey, pay yourself first. So financial advisors don't say, you know, they don't talk about tithing out to the universe or giving to other people, but they definitely always say, you know, pay yourself first with every single paycheck. Whereas in the spiritual teachings, you know, they say, hey, you know, give out to the universe. You know, you can't keep anything that you know, don't give away. And so really by bridging this root chakra and this crown chakra together, then we really have a perfect masculine and feminine balance of yes, I'm going to, you know, give, you know, back out to the universe 10%, but I'm also going to, you know, pay myself that exact same 10% so that I'm also investing and saving, because that's also about self-love, you know, because, you know, even in psychology, you know, psychology talks about, you know, I can't give anything to anyone that I don't already have. So if I'm practicing self-love and practicing paying myself first and building my investments and building my net worth, you know, paycheck by paycheck, then I'm now experiencing on that vibrational tone that you mentioned earlier an expanded awareness of prosperity. Because over the course of even 3-6 months, now I'm going to look at my savings account or I'm going to look at my investments and go, wow, I actually do have money. So now that changes my emotional experience. And so now I'm going to have a different vibrational relationship with money, or what I like to say is financial energy. And so that in itself then now gives us the upgrade in our financial wellness, where now I have a different experience with it. And so for me, I feel like being in the feminine of saying, yes, I'm here to give to the universe, you know, 10% of everything I make, but also really being in the masculine and being in the root chakra saying, but I'm also practicing self-love and also giving back to myself. And also, too, you know, you mentioned, you know, giving back to the place that spiritually feeds us. For me, although I do that, I definitely, you know, tie it to my church. However, for me, my favorite activity is each month I take out, you know, anywhere from a $100 bill to to $200 bills, and I hold it, you know, against my heart, and I say, okay, Spirit, you know, this is your money. Who am I to give it to? And I carry with me that $100 bill, and I practice listening in terms of who Spirit wants me to give this to. And I love this activity so much because it'll just be a random, you know, act. And it's not about, you know, someone maybe asking me for it or anything like that. It's just about Spirit will just communicate to me and say, hey, give that person that money, or give that person that money.
Any chance Spirit is suggesting that you should give it to me right now? Because I think I'm hearing that. What's that? Oh, wait, hold on. Spirit just told me. I'm just using. Go ahead.
No, yeah. And I mean, you know, like 2 weeks ago, I was in the gym and randomly Spirit said, hey, you know, send this person, you know, $100. And I was like, well, I don't even know, do they have a PayPal? Do they have a Venmo? Like, how am I even going to get them, you know, $100? And I ended up finding it. And I get, you know, I sent that $100. And about 20 minutes later, I got a text from her just saying, oh my gosh, like, when you sent that money, I was literally in prayer because I had to, you know, make a dentist appointment and I didn't have enough money. And the $100, you know, completely, you know, allowed me to cover it. And you were literally an answered prayer. And so this is where the relationship with Spirit happens, and where we get to just, again, surrender, and we surrender by building this high level of trust.
That's awesome. Well, that's super inspiring, and at the same time, I'm like wanting to be the voice of, you know, challenge, because I imagine that there's listeners right now who are like, well, that's nice for him, you know, clearly he's in a more advantageous place in his life than I am, and I don't think I could ever do that because I'm just living month to month to make sure that I'm getting these bills paid. And you know, I want to really honor and also acknowledge that there's a lot of people, and probably, I mean, I want to say the majority of people throughout the planet. I mean, I also have a spiritual teacher. My spiritual teacher is Amma, and she comes from India, and I've gone to see her in India two different times, and I've also seen her in the States several times. And something that has really struck me, or stricken me, whatever the right way to say that is how she talks about very similar things in very, very different countries. You know, in the U.S., she'll talk about how people are really suffering, even around money. You know, she'll talk about how the earth is really struggling and in a state of disharmony, and that humans are struggling and in a state of disharmony and with themselves and each other, and that even financially that people are really suffering a lot, whether it be like actual financial, you know, insufficiency, or that they're just plain old worried about not having enough. And so anyway, yeah, it's really, you know, surprised me how she'll say the same speech with as much heartfelt sincerity in her voice to Americans as she does to the Indian people, who are economically far worse off than, you know, than the vast majority of Americans. Even the people living on poverty aren't as impoverished as the, you know, the majority of Indian people. And right now they're going through all these incredibly tragic floods happening right now. And so, you know, there's just, not to go too far off tangent with this, but there's just a level of suffering that's happening in the world that, like, for people to imagine that they could have the possibility to walk around with an extra $100 to give out because Spirit says so, you know, I'm also wanting to be that voice of the bridge, to be like, well, how in the heck are we supposed to get there when we can't even imagine tithing, you know, to ourselves, let alone tithing to God and tithing or spiritual, you know, source resources. And so I want to also just say, like, have you always been in this place where you've been hearing the voice of God or the voice of Spirit and had enough money to be able to tithe to your spiritual resource and your church and to tithe to yourself? Or how do people even get from where they are right now? How do we get from thinking about vibrating to there's not even enough for me or us to pay for basic living needs, to getting over that hump of being more balanced and in the financial dimension, so that we could potentially consider that as a possibility, you know, that we could walk around with an extra $100 bills and $100 bill and find the right person who really needs it to be that abundant in our, both in our mindset, which is, you know, you're talking about the crown chakra. I just want to touch on that too. I studied and worked directly with the chakras, so I want to also be the voice for that, the crown chakra being your connection to Spirit, that vertical connection that comes through the body, and the crown chakra being our connection to the earth. So when you're talking about the crown and the root, we're talking about having our bodies be more of like an antenna or a vessel for the planet, you know, from the source of Spirit from above. So if you could speak into that a little bit more about, you know, how do we shift our vibrations, shift the reality of I'm thinking about, or we're thinking about having enough to survive, you know, and then moving into a place of I'm living to give. I'm living and having the capacity to give in the way that you're describing.
Yeah, thank you for that question, because, you know, that's something that's really dear to my heart. I mentioned earlier, you know, that I was raised by a single mom. You know, my dad took off when my mom got pregnant. My mom, or my father never gave any child support or anything like that. So my mom worked three jobs, you know, all of her life, you know, just to try to, you know, support both of us. And I started working when I was in third grade, you know, for $2 an hour at a bookstore, to actually, you know, help my mom, you know. So when my parents were were out, you know, playing, you know, baseball, whatever, I was going to work. And so, you know, I've always had this kind of, you know, experience with money where there's actually a lack of it, you know, because even though there was a lot of love in the home, there was also a lot of emotional stress around, can we pay rent and can we eat and, you know, those type of things. And, you know, and so, so because of that, you know, financial energy, you know, has been a focal point, you know, really all my life. So I have gone from, you know, really, you know, nothing, you know, to the place that I'm at today. You know, I put myself through school and, you know, did all these things. And so we can get to these levels. You know, anyone can get to these levels. You know, like the Bible says, if we have faith of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. But that's why I say that, is that we have to start small. We have to first start, you know, like we talked about earlier about, you know, taking care of the body temple, then putting everything in divine order, and then really working on the budget. And, you know, to your question of, well, you know, how can I, you know, tie it to myself and how can I tie it to the universe, you know, if I'm in this, you know, vibrational experience of lack, well, then that's when I say, you know, hey, 1%, you know, start with 1%. I know when I started doing this, I was always investing. I started investing when I was 18. But when I started to tithe and to give people and give to people, and I actually created my own checking account, you know, for this, for just a tithing account, really for two reasons. One, so that I could keep it separate, you know, from my other finances, but also too that when that tithing account was at zero, I also practiced the self-love of my sacred no. And that was the promise to say that, hey, you know, I can give as long as there's, you know, prosperity and abundance, you know, in this tithing account. But once that's at zero, I get to then, you know, draw boundaries and utilize my sacred no. So that's also a big part of financial prosperity. You know, I work with a lot of clients around money, and a lot of times, you know, they're experiencing lack only because they're giving too much, whether it be, you know, their children or, you know, obligations to the family or friends or whatever, you know, it may be. So the point being is just that when we start, you know, with just 1%, and yeah, my, you know, it right now, you know, it's easy for me to give 100, but back in the day, you know, it was like 10 bucks, you know. But the universe doesn't look at and say, oh, well, you're giving 1,000, you're giving 100. It doesn't look at the number. It looks at the vibrational tone, you know, that's being offered to the universe when we do give to the planet or give to ourselves. And so if 10 bucks, you know, to someone is a lot of money, then that vibrational resonance, you know, carries a lot of weight with it, and it will change your life.
Very cool. I appreciate that. That was really clearly stated. I appreciate that so much and love the sacred no. Is that right? The sacred no?
Yes.
You're drawing boundaries, and for us to learn from that we've got to have our own boundaries, and I hear that in the budgeting. So I want to just pause for a moment and just identify for people who may have just gotten onto the show. This is the Hypnotic Comic Show. I am Jenna Grayson, your host, the Hypnotic Comic. And we're on the line here with Dr. Joshua Darnell, the psychic medium, who is working in the realm of helping people with classes and sessions. That you can find out more information about him. Is it Dr. Joshua? What is your website, Dr. Joshua? Dr. Joshua.
Yeah, drjoshua.org.
.org.
Yeah, drjoshua.org.
Aren't you so selfless for having a .org? A very charitable movement there. I appreciate that so much. So this is our weekly show that we're starting just today, and so we're going to be on every Monday at lunch hour at noon, so hopefully you guys can tune in again and let your friends know. We're going to be talking about meaningful things and having a good time about it and looking to uplift our lives and find some soothing in the tumultuousness of life and some joy and comedy and some psychic balm with the ALM, not the other kind of balm. Okay, so we have about 15 more minutes left, and I'm just wanting to touch on a couple other things that I've wanted to talk with you about, Dr. Joshua. Oh, let me also, before we go into the next point, I also want to put out the phone number once again for listeners if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment for me, Jenna Grayson, or for Dr. Joshua Darnell. The phone number to call in is 888-627-6008. I'll say that one more time, and we've got Doug here on the radio lines waiting for or available for your calls. It's 888-627-6008. All right. So on money and meaning, I think that's a good name for the show. So what do you think is the reason, you know, talking about, we were talking about how the subject of money can be such a source of suffering for so many people really all over the world, you know, regardless of the economic status of our government, which is a lot of what people like to talk about. And a lot of my travels, I've traveled to almost 40 countries now, and people like to talk about the government and the status of their economy. I lived in Argentina for a while, and that was one of the subjects that I actually got really good at speaking about in Spanish, was the government and the economy, just because people like to talk about it. So, you know, the subjects we're talking about here today is not about the economy. It's not about the government. What we're talking about really is about our relationship to ourselves, our relationship to spirit, our relationship to money itself. We're talking about our relationship as to our vibration, to our energetic self, to our inner being. So it's more really we're talking about relationship, which I wasn't really anticipating, but now I'm hearing myself saying that. It's really like, what is our relationship with money like? What is our relationship with ourselves like? So what do you think, if you were to look at sort of the global economy, as people say, or, you know, I'm wanting to really talk about both that, like, left brain, no, that's not really what I want to say, but it's like the global economy as, like, the people in power, you know, the government and what the government's doing and not doing versus, not versus, but as well as the global economy being the mindset of the world, you know, like, what are we missing? Like, how do we make a difference in recognizing that there is a lot of value in looking at our relationship with money, looking at our relationship with ourselves and spirit? Like, you know, do you think that that's really a larger problem than what people tend to focus on? Yeah.
No, it's a great question. I mean, I guess the first thing that kind of comes to my mind is, you know, it's the same thing that's happening today is the same thing that's been happening really since the dawn of man in humanity in terms of the people in power finding ways to suppress the majority. And so now, you know, this current economic system that we're in, the powers that be use money to suppress the masses. And really, money, as it's used today with banks, is really modern-day slavery. But that doesn't, you know, so that's a root chakra, you know, fact. I mean, you know, we could talk for the next, you know, 2 hours in terms of, you know, why that's true and all that. But on a spiritual level, money is really just financial energy. And on the spirit, and when we can step into the laws of how to work our own magic, we do not have to be governed by that experience. And okay. and that's the biggest thing. And that's why we want to, you know, step into a spiritual path, because really a spiritual path is a life of freedom. And a life that we don't have to buy into the current vibrational thought that money is in lack, that we can have anything that we want, and we can vibrationally align ourselves, you know, to the life that spirit, you know, wants us to live, you know, on this planet.
That's awesome. So it sounds like what you're saying is really the solution is in so much of what we've believed as really not being the truth, which is that money isn't spiritual, and rather the solution is in finding the spiritual presence within our own finances, within money, within the global well-being, within our own inner well-being, that spirit is wanting to be present, not only in our crown chakra, which is like where we tend to feel that spiritual presence is above, like even in really conservative churches, like people lift their hands up, like they're feeling something above their heads, but also that spirit is wanting to be present in our hearts, as we tend to have peace with, you know, but, and then also all the way down to our root chakra, where it's like, if I could be so bold to say, like, our sexual organs are there, and God's spirit wants to exist there, where the money's at.
Exactly. Well said.
Where the money's at. All right. Well, that's really nice. That's really nice. I'm glad we could both talk about the Bible and our sex organs and our root chakra all in one radio show. This has been really fruitful. I like it. You know, one of the things, yeah, it's great. I wanted to ask you, like, how can we look at money as being spiritual? But, you know, you've said that kind of thing to me before too, and it's really been transformative in terms of just even like the sense of peace about money, you know, to have a sense of inner peace that money not only could be spiritual, but that it's like, yeah, spirit wants to be part of that game, part of that equation, part of that existence within my life. Like, spirit wants to move into my root chakra. Spirit wants to move into my groundedness on the planet and to sustain me as the infinite presence. And that's not greedy or selfish or non-spiritual. It's like the desire of that spiritual realm, the desire of God, is not to necessarily just be like sexualized, but like to be in the things that I think we really held separate from God or the divine. And so maybe that's why we thought they're separate, is because we haven't been like spiritually mature enough, or like you were talking about the government kind of taking away, or the powers that be is probably a better way to say that, because it's not just the government, but it's been hundreds of years of real mental enslavement that we've been under and receiving from the powers that be that we could even call, you know, the religious major world religion churches that have said that God isn't in money and God isn't in sex, and we're finding something different. I don't know. Right. I'm thinking, you know, maybe that's the solution. And I feel like also, you know, some, especially women who I know who are bringing God, the divine, into their sexual lives, it's really a profoundly beautiful and transcendent experience. And it's very much against what the church would have us believe, but I personally am going to be the heretic here, because I already am one, and say I believe that Jesus and Mary Magdalene participated in those kinds of tantric rituals that helped to bring spirit through their entire being, not just part of their being. I don't think Jesus was leaving the fullness of God out of his genitals. I just don't. I'm a comedian, so I can say that kind of stuff, right? I can get away with being so irreverent.
No, absolutely. I agree 1,000%. I mean, you know, another book that I want to write is the idea that meditation is really the exact same spiritual experience as sex, but one is experienced with the crown chakra, the other one is experienced with the root chakra. And you're right, you know, as you said, you know, earlier, like, you know, we're in relationship to everything. And spirit, you know, divine intelligence wants to be in all aspects of our dimensions of wellness. And so it is righteous to bring spirit into our relationships with our lovers and our relationships with money and our relationships with everything that we have going on. And when we do that, then we really are living and breathing a life on God. Or like Osho talks about, you know, the prayer in each and every breath. You know, when we really incorporate and integrate that.
That's awesome. Absolutely. And I want to say, you know, speak to what you were talking about, like that about meditation being more about the crown chakra, which I think in general, it's experienced that way and thought of that way. And sex being more the root chakra and it being experienced that way and generally thought of that way. But really, I think we're also having this conversation and in a time in our place, a time in our time and our place on the earth that it's all becoming more integrated. I'm not saying that meditation is becoming a sexual experience, but that's what Kundalini yoga is all about. It really is a practice of meditation and bringing that life energy alive within the root and moving it through the whole body. And likewise, that's what Tantra is about, is distributing the energy from the root, you know, from the root to the crown and back. So it's like, I also think, you know, and people who are open or feel safe enough to have these kinds of spiritual experiences, that it can be really transformational and really transcendent, to allow spirit to be through every breath, as you're saying, you know, every breath, including the ones when we're like, don't look, God. But we're also screaming, oh, God. You know, those are the times when people talk about or speak the name of God the most is in sexual experiences, you know, so there's got to be something to it. So on that note, go ahead.
I was just going to
the last couple minutes.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to reinforce the fact that, you know, the key there is the breath, right? Because when we're in the breath, then we are open to the presence, and we're open to that divine flow coming through us, and that's why, you know, Tantra sex is so powerful, because the core of that teaching is the breath.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Well, very good. Well, I appreciate so much taking this time with me today, Joshua. I do feel complete at this time, at the end of our hour together. We have been speaking with Dr. Joshua Darnell. He is a psychic medium and is a master, has a master level degree and almost done with his doctorate in psychology and spiritual psychology, teaching us today about our relationship with spirit and how that integrates with money and the seven dimensions of our wellness. And you can find out more about Dr. Joshua at drjoshua.org. And I am your friendly host, Jenna Grayson, the Hypnotic Comet. And I also do individual sessions and classes, as does Dr. Joshua, on overcoming anxiety and fears so that we can live more fulfilling, more joyful, fun lives. And once again, my next stand-up comedy show, yes, I am also a stand-up comic, is this Friday, August 24th at the Comedy Store in Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard at 7 p.m. in the original room. You can find out more about that, about how to buy tickets, on my Facebook page, which is Jenna Grayson. Thank you guys so much for being on the show today, and big thanks going out to our Dr. Doug behind the scenes, answering the calls and keeping us flowing and on the air. And thanks so much to all the listeners. It's been my joy. And as I said earlier, also we'll be having a weekly show next week. My guest will be the granddaughter of Warren Buffett. Her name is Nicole Buffett. And she also is a really beautiful human being and really masterful in her life path. And I see her as the golden key for all of us, and I told her that as well. And she's a healer and a very conscious woman who's also bridging magic and money and the root chakra and the crown chakra. So she will be on our show next week, Monday at noon. She is offering transformational life guidance. That's Nicole Buffett next week on our show. And I'm Jenna Grayson. It's been my pleasure, my honor to be of service to you. Can't wait to do this again. This has been so much fun. You guys are amazing. Dr. Joshua is amazing. He's my friend. I'm glad to brag about
So please do join us next week. Lots of love and many blessings. Stay with us. Stay tuned and keep listening. Thanks so much. Lots of love.